Strike action is on the way in health and education. Members of the Public Services Union, Unison, have voted in favour of strike action in response to service cuts and job losses. Unison says its members are under increasing pressure and in many cases working with unsafe staffing levels. Unison's Patricia McKeown is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Patricia.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the Northern Ireland Conservative spokesman, Mark Brotherston, is with us. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Patricia, set this out for us.
Well, you probably already know that right across the public service, unions are balloting their membership for industrial action. Unison is the first to declare in this ballot. In the coming days, you're going to hear more declarations. It will extend beyond health and education into the civil service, into public transport, into other areas like higher education. So there is a very, very deep dissatisfaction among our members, and I think among the general public, in reaction to the cuts that are now going to hit us. 7 years of cuts people have already lived under. Now we're seeing job and service cuts, the like of which we've never experienced before.
And what is it you want,
that's doing real damage.
What do you want?
Well, I do think that we want to rethink. We want that set of budget proposals withdrawn. We want to rethink by the Assembly. They've taken a series of decisions that impact on ordinary people in extraordinary ways. There's been no communication, as far as we can see, across ministries and government departments. So decisions have been taken to cut back in areas like health, education, direct delivery of public services that are going to make life very, very difficult for ordinary
people. But Patricia, here's the score. We know what they're up against in Stormont. They can't magic money out of the back of the sofa. They're trying to make do. They're trying to square a circle where they don't have enough money. There are other services under threat. You've got to work with Stormont. You've got to understand the financial pressures that there are.
We totally understand the financial pressures.
Well, why are you on a collision course with them
then? But when the UK government makes a cut to the block grant, it is a direct decision by our own government here to impact that on 97-year-olds and school children. You know, there are other decisions that can be taken in a collective and collaborative way.
Well, there aren't.
That has not happened. And this "there aren't" is absolute nonsense. They're about to take decisions to cut corporate tax rates for multinationals. And there are going to be more public service cuts in response to that. Why do we have to do that? Do you know that the five multinationals who control energy in Britain admitted that in a consecutive 3-year period they didn't pay a penny in corporation tax?
But this is a red herring from you this morning.
Why is it a red herring?
I'll tell you why it's a red herring, because the corporation tax debate is in the future. It would impact a future budget. It has not been implemented. You're arguing about the current budget.
We're arguing about the current budget.
Which corporation tax does not affect.
It will do, though. But we're now looking at extraordinary cuts across services. Now, the books really need to be opened here. Are you confident that the money we have is being spent in the right way? Should it always be the case that it impacts on health and social services, on schools, on direct public service provision, on jobs in local communities, in local economies? Have you any idea what is going to happen to so many of our local economies if we lose thousands upon thousands of jobs out of the public service?
Well, this is scare tactics now, isn't it?
This is a devastating set of decisions. It's far from scare tactics. It's the decisions that have already been taken. Now, you have exposed enough of the anxiety and the impact of cuts and the impact on public service workers on your programme over the last couple of years to know that this is real and that the feelings of our members are very, very real. They are working under extraordinary pressure trying to deliver, whether that be home care workers in the community, district nurses, or people in wards, A&E departments and in school kitchens.
And you're comfortable, meanwhile, Patricia, being on a direct collision course, which is what you're on, with democratically elected ministers who have a mandate from the public?
When you say comfortable, let's be very clear. Strike is a weapon of last resort.
Well, you're doing it.
People, because we've come to this place, ordinary workers do not take decisions like this easily. Things have to be bad for them to decide they will engage in industrial action. Things are very bad. Things can be done in a different way. Money can be redirected in a different way. what this doomsday nonsense about we're all in it together and we have no choice, how come it always appears to impact on low-paid women workers, the services they deliver, frontline services? Why does it always impact there? We say there are different ways to do this.
0845 955 678, the text 81771. What do you think at home? Mark Brotherston, what's your reaction to that?
Well, Stephen, it's come back to your point of red herring and scaremongering. You know, whilst I appreciate that trade unions are very important institutions with a strong history, it is wrong that the union leaders can hold the country to ransom. And my point I want to make here is, I would like to ask Patricia.
It's your party that has pushed the cuts into Northern Ireland. No, it's the Conservative Party that has come up with this cuts agenda for
absolutely
Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Stephen, absolutely not. Remember,
well, who magicked it out of the rabbit's hat then?
We have a devolved administration here. And whenever we make efficiencies across the United Kingdom, we expect devolved administration ministers to make appropriate decisions.
Westminster cut the block grant.
Without getting off the point of this particular point this morning, this goes back to the question that was asked previously about passing legislation to ensure that before you call strike action, you have to have a balanced approach. Because I see a statement here this morning from Unison saying that in the health and social care sector, 81% are in favour of strike. But 81% of what? How many members actually voted and were balloted?
Well, let's let Patricia answer that question.
Here we go, the numbers game. We had all this in 2011. The return across all employers, and a very large number of employers are involved in this, averages about 20%. Now, contrast that.
So are you telling me that it's 81% of 20%?
Yeah, and that's very good. And that's very...
You're telling me...
And that's very good for a postal ballot.
You're telling me that you want to hold health education to ransom when 25% of your members, only 20% responded. Sorry.
It's a better result in 2011. Unison actually has live ballots in health and education. Now, that's a better result.
It's not exactly a huge turnout, Patricia. If 80% of the people, haven't responded.
Let me quote a turnout to you.
The largest
party in Northern Ireland was elected on 30% of first preference votes, with 16% of the eligible electorate voting. The current Minister for Health was elected on 12.5% of first preference votes, with 7% of the eligible electorate. So if we want to play numbers games and talk democracy, then, you know, let's look at who votes.
Let me make this a lot more relevant to the people listening this morning. These strikes, Patricia, are they token strikes? Are they half-day strikes?
What's going to happen is once all the results from the unions across the public
here
sector...
Here we go, Stephen.
Hold on, let her finish, Mark. No, let her finish.
Can I finish? Once all the results from the unions across the public sector are in, and that will be within the next week or so...
When they're all in? I thought you said we're having strike action. I mean, this is it. You see, from your report...
Would you let me finish, please? Would you care to listen, then you'll know what's going to happen?
I know exactly.
On the 13th...
Well, I don't know, Mark, so...
On Friday the 13th of March, we anticipate a strike across the public sector, across
anticipate
Northern Ireland.
Or a warning, or...
Right. In addition to that, we've got a mandate from the membership.
A mandate?
For other forms of industrial action. Listen, this guy who's interrupting me doesn't even have a mandate of any sorts in Northern Ireland. Would he listen? Could we put some manners on him? It's his party who cut the block grant.
Patricia.
The anticipation is...
my party that cut the block grant...
Mark, I would like to hear what Patricia has to say and then you can respond.
Okay, Stephen.
We expect a full-day strike on the 13th of March under the umbrella of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions across public services. After that, unions will have a mandate for other forms of industrial action, including work to rule. Now, I can tell you that if we exercise work to rule in places like the health service, where our members, particularly in areas like nursing, are giving literally thousands of free hours every week because they can't leave the wards or hand over to the next shift until the next shift is there. And staffing levels are so critical, and in some instances reaching unsafe levels, that they are giving thousands of hours of free time. Now, we will be saying to our members, why don't you just work what you're paying?
Well, will you really? So what impact is that going to have on patients?
Stephen, can I, Mark,
you can, when I invite you in to speak, and I will do so.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Patricia, what impact is that going to have on patients?
Well, at the end of the day, we would hope that the health service employers will respond by filling the vacancies out there, by putting the community nurses now running at 10% below staffing levels out in the community.
No, on the day you strike,
by putting those posts back
on the
again.
Day you strike, and when you go into work to rule, what impact is that going to have on patients? Are they going to notice it?
Of course, they're going to notice.
In what way?
Well, I'm assuming that the same thing will happen as happened in 2011 when we took industrial action for the first time in 30 years across the whole health and education services. We'll go down to accident, emergency, and the health service. And I'm assuming that schools on the whole will close. If you didn't,
you're assuming that schools will close.
Yeah, and if you didn't make an impact by taking industrial action, what would be the point?
But the impact is on vulnerable patients.
The vulnerable patients.
What about the ethics of that?
Look, let's be clear. Unison members and other public service unions will be taking action that does disrupt services and does have an impact on the
school
public.
Kids not getting to school and vulnerable
and
patients not getting their medicine and getting their nursing care.
And does have an impact on the public for one day as opposed to the other 364 days of the year when the impact on the public has been highlighted by you and your show and many others in the media on a constant daily basis. Something's got to give here. Now, the other thing I would say is one of the things Unison did over the last 3 weeks was organise more than 50 public meetings in towns, cities and villages around
Stephen.
Northern Ireland
okay.
in order to explain to the public why our members were likely to take this
okay.
action.
Mark Brotherson, go
now,
ahead.
I have to say to you, we Stephen. Have public support.
Okay, Mark Brotherson.
Patricia, while I absolutely do sympathise with our nurses, with our school teachers, with our public service employees, and I have family who are in that domain, it is fundamentally wrong for the union to scaremonger like this, and you can't even tell us the strikes are going to happen. You mean your statement says that you're pending approval from the Unison Industrial Action Committee?
So that's
you're now scaremongering, saying that 20% voted and 81% are forcing the rest out in strike. Which
nobody's forcing anybody out.
It's wrong.
Nobody is forcing anybody
it's
out.
Wrong.
Well, Mark, what do you want them to do? If they're short-staffed, if they're at the end of the line, if they're not getting what they feel they're entitled to, if they feel that in some cases, in many
Stephen,
cases, there are unsafe staffing levels,
Stephen,
if they're coming under increased pressure, what do you want them to do?
I can tell you what I think should happen. To be fair to everyone.
Because by the way, we know what Tory ministers think, don't we? Sir Malcolm Rifkin let it out of the bag. £67,000 a year isn't really enough for someone like him to live on.
Well, Stephen, you're digressing from the point.
I'm making exactly the point. Take a nurse at 20-odd grand a year that you don't want to give a pay rise to, but 67 grand a year isn't enough for you lot, the Tories.
Stephen, that's not what I'm saying. If we get back to the point, I want to make is that Patricia has stated the horrendous conditions that she believes that people are working under, but only 20% of them want to come out and strike against that. I mean, what I'm saying is that whenever people have the opportunity to come out, and I do appreciate that it is a civil liberty for people to strike, but it has to be done in a fair and equitable way, particularly with public services. It's wrong for union leaders to hold the country to ransom.
Well, you call yourself the Northern Ireland Conservative spokesman. How many votes have you got?
Well, Stephen, you're digressing again.
Well, I'm asking a question.
Well, can I answer your question?
No, can you answer that one? How many votes do you have?
In which election?
Pick any.
Well, if you're talking about how many
Let's take the European election. How many votes do you have? The last one.
4,144.
What percentage is that of the electorate?
Well, maybe you could tell me.
No. Well, it's about 1,200,000 people in Northern Ireland eligible to vote for you.
Guys, can we go back to the point here about If you want to talk politics, then there's a different show for that. If you want to talk about macroeconomics, there's a different show for that. We're talking specifically about unions forcing people to go out and strike with a very small percentage.
Who's forcing, anybody anywhere?
Okay.
I mean, can I make a very clear point here? We are obeying the law of the land. We are fully compliant, fully legal in this result. People are forced to vote by postal ballot because his party introduced this some years ago. We have had hundreds of workplace meetings across the public sector, health and education in Northern Ireland, over the last 2 months, and thousands of people have been at those meetings.
Let's see what
they want. Industrial action.
Here's Wesley. Morning, Wesley.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I've sat here for the past 9 minutes and listened to the biggest load of dribble. Mark Brotherson bought men, and he's sitting in probably his nice wee mansion somewhere, provided by the British tax.
$67,000 a year isn't enough for the type of Tory that Malcolm Rifkind is, for his type of person. It's not enough for me, he said.
Can I come in and defend myself on that? I'm a working class guy from East Belfast, whose father worked at a shipyard, so don't give me your living on a hill in a mansion. I don't know who the guy is that's coming in, but I absolutely haven't got no silver spoon in my mouth.
Go on, Wesley.
I'm lying here in bed here this morning, and I probably won't get paid for the day that I've had to take off, okay? And I fully support anybody who has to withdraw their labour. I've had to withdraw mine today because I'm ill, okay? Now, if somebody has to come out and strike to prove a point, that is their right.
But it's going to mean, as Patricia says, Wesley, that schools are closing, and it's going to mean that patients are not going to get the care that they deserve, Wesley. So who is this strike actually hurting?
Stephen, see so long as nobody dies, see so long as nobody gets ill, see so long as nobody goes hungry. That's fine. That is their workers' right.
Okay.
See, because people like you, Stephen, people like you, you are just the same as all the rest. All the fat cats sitting at the top of the tree taking all the gravy, while the rest of us at the bottom have to take the crumbs. Now, Stephen, I'm not getting at you personally. I'm talking about all the fat cats who are taking all the fat wages, because you're a BBC employee. You take taxpayers' money as well. I mean, and this is what I'm saying. There's people who can cream off £100,000 a year off taxpayers' money and not bat an eye, while a nurse who earns 22, 24 grand a year works her guts out and gets a bust of work in the snow and in the rain. Now, you tell me, you driving up and down there, mowing, like sitting grazing in McDonald's, is that fair when you watch wee Filipino nurses walk across to go into the Ulster Hospital? Is that fair?
Wesley, thank you. Kevin and Ballinhinch. Morning, Kevin.
Morning, Stephen. I'm much the same as the last caller there. Wrong. I mean,
Kevin, we have a problem with your phone. We'll see if we can sort it. Danny and Carrickfergus. Go ahead, Danny.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Stephen, just listen about that. There's no money for this, no money for that. They had the chance to bring in millions with the Tannock Quarter casino. They will put on a...
What are you talking about? What do you mean casino?
Well, the casino was they were wanting to bring the Titanic Quarter.
Well, they're not bringing a casino.
I know they're not bringing it, but they could have. And that would have got them plenty of money. Well, and then... There's no national lottery for Northern Ireland. Everybody else has got a lottery. But help for the nursing and the teaching. And then they've got this Irish language. Pop the money into that. Pop the money into things that it's not real when it should be going into the health and the education. And then as for the MPs, in Northern Ireland, the MPs aren't the best politicians. It's because one is green and one is orange. It's nothing to do with who's the best for the job. So that's what I want to think, talk about the MPs.
You sound frustrated.
Yeah, it's more than that, Stephen.
Do you support the union go out and strike? Schools will be closed.
Yes.
Patients won't be cared for as much as they should be. You support do you?
Yes, that's the politicians here. They're sitting like the one said earlier, with their 60 grand a year, or 70 or 80. the nurses are getting 20,000. It's not right.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well, go on strike.
Conor in Belfast, you're the chair of Unison in the Royal, is that right?
That's right, Stephen, yeah. I just wanted to say, reiterate everything that our regional secretary had said, sir. If our members do decide to exercise their mandate for the industrial action on the 13th, up to and including strike, then so be it. We have that mandate to do so. But as I say, in regards to Mark and his party preaching to health workers about how they're going to disrupt patient services and so on, and putting patients' lives at risk, et cetera, is nonsense. A strike has never killed anybody, but these cuts have.
But it's going to impact, isn't it? There's no point having a strike if it doesn't impact.
I hope if there is a strike, there's absolute maximum impact.
Well, there you go. Maximum disruption.
And minimum impact to patients.
Well, it's not going to have minimum impact on patients.
But how do you know that? How do you know that?
Because Patricia McKeown has told us that, of course, it's going to impact patients.
There will be disruption. Of course, it's the nature of a strike.
So what does disruption
mean? But
the point
I'm pointing to you is that the people who have brought in disruption, widespread disruption, 365 days of the year, is our Stormont executive in relation to the cuts that they're making to patients.
What are these cuts over, Patricia McKeown? Increased pressure?
Sorry?
Are these cuts over increased pressure, Patricia McKeown? Are you not getting enough money?
Oh, yes. It's about a range of issues identified by the members. Staffing levels, unsafe staffing levels, job losses.
What about pay?
Pay is only one element of it. And actually what's just happened in pay is that the health minister here has imposed the lowest pay rise in the UK on health workers here. Didn't honour the recommendation from the pay review body.
But does that not save more money for services?
But what our members said, well, come on, if you're a part-time worker on the lowest wages, is it on your shoulders? Is it on your shoulders to either put food on the table or save money for the health services? I think that's somebody else's responsibility.
So, Stephen, our members have to get a 1% pay raise, the lowest paid members, and our MLAs who are making this decision get 11%. Is that fair?
Well, the MLAs would say that they didn't decide their pay rise.
Yeah, yeah.
That was done by an independent body.
Well, I would like somebody not to decide people who are given our members pay raises. Our members deserve pay raises in health and education and right across, even, of course, within the private sector as well. The bottom line is, as Patricia pointed out earlier, we have hundreds of members of staff within the Royal and right across the health service who are providing free labour every single week in wards, and all these people are wanting for is a fair day's pay, and they want a decent living wage, and they're going to withdraw their labour to get it. That's a socially progressive step to take. So there's absolutely no way.
Well, have a listen to Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Morning, Steve. No, I've just listened to the debate. First of all, it seems to be based on the whole policy seems to be based on very shaky ideas. For a start, they got a very small turnout. They don't really have a mandate to take strike action. And then they have a union leader say it not cost lives. I think it disrupts the delivery of healthcare, puts lives at risk. But what I would like you to do is...
So what do you want them to do?
What's your view on welfare cuts? Because the policy in Stormont about, the Sinn Féin policy particularly, about subsidising welfare cuts from other budgets, it's going to bring further impact, negative impact on their jobs. What about that? And will they come back on the radio in 6 months' time and see how well, and tell us how well they got on, how successful their campaign of industrial action was? Because all too often we've seen these strikes and they've got nowhere. Bring them back on again in 6 months' time, Stephen, and let's see how well they've done. Whether all the stress, the turmoil was worth it if they actually achieved
that.
What do
you want them to do?
I'd be very surprised.
Seriously, if they're the lowest paid, what do you want them to do?
Well, what are they going to do with the welfare? We seen on Spotlight last night where it's not funded. There's a commitment made to top up the welfare budget, which in Northern Ireland is huge. And there's no idea where it's going to come. It's going to come out of our block grant, which when health and education are the two biggest spenders, it's going to impact on them. What's your view on that? I mean, the unions are on a way to go fighting the welfare changes.
Well, this programme has been asking for a long, long time, right?
Yeah.
And we'll say it again. We've been asking for a long, long time of both the DUP and Sinn Féin and the other political parties. Have we really got enough money to ensure that no one will be worse off because of welfare reform? Has that really been costed? Is that really a promise that Sinn Féin can stand over?
Well, it hasn't been costed, and there's no point to ask from the other parties. The decisions made by the DUP and made by Sinn Féin. We've seen it in the debate about welfare cuts.
We will talk about welfare reform later on the show after 10 o'clock this morning, actually.